5, 4. Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm Roger Z, your happy host. I can't wait till we do this in high definition. After all these years, my skin is still clear. You know, I watch high definition TV, and you know, now even the porn stars are getting plastic surgery to make sure they look good.
Well, what's the point of looking good if somebody can't see it, right?
Anyway, my special guest today is Mishti. How are you doing, Mishti?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
And what is the name of the group?
The Mishti Trio. How does that sound, guys?
Right. The Mishti Trio.
Spent all day trying to come up with that, so.
Well, you know what? I love Mishti because it's a great name to do a one-namer on.
Yeah.
If your name was Jane, it wasn't going to happen.
True.
Or Barbara.
Yes. And actually, well, Mishti is actually my nickname. My real name, as you might know, is Mrinalini, which is why I go with Mishti.
Is that a Hindi name?
Yes. Yes. Thank you for saying Hindi and not.
Well, actually, when I first had my babies, they stayed with someone from India, but they spoke Urdu.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So I'm familiar with the difference.
You probably know more than I do. I'm bad with my heritage. I don't know any languages.
I thought you were going to say I'm bad with my hair.
I'm bad. Well, that's hence the hat. So.
Okay, we've known each other for around 4 or 5 years
now. I think
so,
yeah.
I remember the first time I heard you play, because I think I heard you probably before I saw you. And
am I that loud?
No, it was kidding. So awesome. You know, every once in a while, I'm at a jam, and someone rivets me, and that's what you did. I think you were doing Born on the Bayou.
Oh, yeah.
Born on the Bayou, and you have such a great voice, an A-plus professional voice, and I just remember, wow, she can sing,
I remember that. That was, I think we did was it a benefit that Al Franco put together? I don't know, it was a while ago.
Right. I think it was just the night at Jean Jacques.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
That's the Jeff Hartwell Jam, which has now moved to Jackson and Wheeler.
Yep.
As we were talking before, I don't go to the jams that much anymore. I guess once you get the taste of doing a 4-hour gig, it's different than waiting 4 hours and playing 15.
Right. Well, Jeff, I think, actually runs the jam pretty well. I mean, as you know, there's so many jams in the area. And the great thing about what he does is he's very good at pairing people together, right? And I think, you know, usually people get to go up at a reasonable hour. I always elect to go last because I can wake up, you know, a lot of people have to go to sleep at a certain time. So I try to say, all right, Jeff, I can go on kind of at the end, just to give everybody a chance.
Yeah, know? He does, you know.
But he's very supportive. That's actually, you know, even if I've been going recently and not playing and just sort of sitting back and watching. And what I love about him is he's just so supportive of anybody at any level. So that's my little Jeff Hartwell plug.
Well, maybe that's why he's been successfully doing it for
exactly,
5 years.
Exactly, right.
But now you're making a little bit of a transition to songwriter.
Yes. Actually, part of that, it's supported pretty much by all the musicians I've met at the Blues Jam. I mean, that's how I met everybody here and all the friends I've made since college. Petey Hopp actually has really, really helped me with my songwriting. You wrote the article about his Monday night acoustic jam. And it's really a songwriting. He really encourages songwriters to try out new things. And although, you know, covers, as he says, covers are welcome. I played covers for 2-3 years. And eventually, you know, after 2-3 years, I should feel comfortable enough with Petey to start doing different things. And actually, it's because of him in a lot of ways that I even forayed out into, like, trying to write my own material. And it scared me because I actually had been wanting to write my own material for maybe 10 years, but I was so terrified of being horrible. I was so terrified of finding out that I can't do it and then thinking, no, I can't be a musician, or, you know, the dreams being dashed. But it's, as Petey and a lot of people always tell me, it's process. And of course, you know, the first few tunes aren't going to be as polished as they, it's a craft like anything else, I guess.
Yeah, but if you don't, every journey begins with the first step.
Absolutely. absolutely. Actually, the songs that I'm going to be doing tonight are the second and third songs I wrote. So
So maybe it isn't a craft. Maybe your best stuff comes out right away.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. I guess that was my disclaimer. They're the first songs I've ever written.
Okay. Well, you know what? Why don't you introduce the songs and let's hear them.
Let's just go for it. All right.
So as we shift around, I have to remember my mark to come right back to this spot.
Well, the first song I'm going to do, it's called Ruby Blue. And actually, what's kind of funny about it is it's somebody who works for me. Ruby Blue is... Oh, sorry. Ruby Blue is a nurse who works for my company. And when I was setting her up with an account with us, I said, that is the best name I've ever heard. I'm going to write a song about it. So, there it is.
Black Nebula, to you cross my heart, oh my child. Thank you.
brought the house down. Something fell. That was awesome.
Hopefully those aren't the neighbors being like, cut it off. This is the experimental part of the interview.
Taking
Awesome.
Am I on my mark? Great. That was nice. A lot of dynamics.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting chords.
Thanks. Yeah, actually, I was telling them when we had our first rehearsal, for our only rehearsal, when we started playing that song, I like almost started crying because it was just so powerful for me to hear, you know, one of something that's so close to me play so well and bring it to life. And it's just amazing how adding other elements just completely transform something, and it just made me even more excited to play it.
Well, enthusiasm is a great thing.
Yes, definitely.
And speaking of enthusiasm, here's an interesting question. See if you can answer this. I know I didn't prep you on this one.
Uh-oh.
Can you think of the song or the group that made you want to play music?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Well, I mean, I'm thinking back to my childhood. Actually, I was a big Guns N' Roses fan. That Guns N' Roses definitely made me want to play guitar and scream a lot.
Which song? Was there any particular song?
Well, I always wanted to learn the solo on Sweet Child of Mine. I know it's cliche,
but,
you know, I was like, let me impress everybody. And I was I actually did take guitar lessons for a little while, and I learned everything up to that fast part, and I moved to India like the next day. So I was waiting the whole time. I was like, oh yes, you know, okay, I can do this. Fine. I'm getting there, you know, and getting my picking up the speed, ready to learn that part, and I never learned it. So, and also when I was in high school, what really, I was a big Sinead O'Connor fan, and she's just with an incredible songwriter and amazing voice, and that's actually a lot, definitely inspired me a lot vocally, for sure, and just her passion, like, I really identified with. And since then, just, I love, I mean, for me, music is just, I mean, very important. It's one of the many outlets. I also paint, and I write, and I do a whole bunch of other things. And so music offers sort of a more, like, interactive aspect that the other parts don't really. So the part that really inspires me is just other people. So even, like, I would say today, just getting, as you know, I go to a lot of these jams, and I'm just inspired by the people I play with. So on a weekly basis, it's just, you know, these guys, Jeff, Petey, you know, my buds, they inspire me.
Good answer. I remember The Doors were my favorite group when I was a teenager. And the funny thing with The Doors is, I think they've basically gone through three or four generations of kids already due to classic rock. So, but I remember I bought this book that transcribed all the guitar solos from the first record. So I remember I learned the entire...
John Densmore, right?
Robbie Krieger.
Oh, right, no, but he's the drummer, right?
Yeah. Right. But Robbie Krieger. So I learned the whole long version of the guitar solo.
Oh, nice.
And he was interesting because he didn't just play blues. He had, like, flamenco stuff. He was an interesting guy.
And he was a finger picker, too, didn't he? Like, you know, he...
He did. He was, well...
He was not finger picker, but he didn't use a, at least...
You know, I just saw him. He just did this Jimi Hendrix tribute concert.
Oh, wow.
And actually, he played slide on that. But anyway, that brings me to my next question, which is the desert island question. If we motored you out to a desert island for a week, which couple of CDs would you bring with you?
Well, I'm trying to think of what I've been listening to obsessively recently, and so one of the things I've been listening to for years obsessively is Jeff Buckley's live album, Mystery White Boy. And it's just, actually, I don't think, you're familiar with Jeff Buckley a little bit, or not?
Well, this is the sad thing. I'm familiar
with his father.
Dad,
yeah.
So I knew Tim Buckley. I knew him before he had his son.
Right. Yeah, he was an amazing songwriter, too.
I think he wrote If I Was a Carpenter. I'm not sure. Maybe that was Bobby Darin. I don't know. But anyway,
But Jeff Buckley was just this incredible vocalist, songwriter, guitarist. Like, in each write, he just picked very, is very interesting melodically and interesting lyrics and just the still rocking out, but just different enough that it just, I could listen to it over and over again. And his live album is just, they basically picked some of the best performances over his short life.
Did he die in a swimming pool?
He drowned in like the Mississippi, listening to Led Zeppelin. So very.
And was he electrocuted or?
it's a mystery. So he got so into the music that he forgot he was in water. And,
so they're not releasing what the real cause of death
is. His mother always says, well, there was no drugs or alcohol found in his body, so it wasn't. And they don't think it was suicide. I think it really was like an accident.
So sad.
Yeah, because he, just the one album that he had, Grace, his one live studio album, was just brilliant and critically acclaimed, and all the tracks are just so different and stand on their own. And what's so neat about this live album that I would take with me is just the energy of playing a live show just is so, you feel it. You feel on each track, it breathes new life into the studio recordings. You know?
Some people just have it. I remember listening to the radio, and I heard Greg Allman sing Midnight Rider.
Yeah.
Just playing acoustic guitar, and his voice sent shivers up and down my spine.
Yeah.
Some people just have it. But actually, the sad thing about rock and roll is they finally released the true story of how Jim Morrison died. Basically, where
they
found
really?
Him. Yeah. Yeah, he overdosed, and they found him in a toilet stall with his head in the toilet. So that's the way that great man ended his life.
Right.
Someone found him in a toilet stall.
Right.
Just.
Well, you wonder what would come. Yeah, you wonder what their careers would be like.
Well, but you know what? People, I understand it. People burn out.
Yeah.
People burn out. Sometimes I feel if something comes, a lot of the country stars, I'm one of the only people with the country around here, but a lot of the country stars, they don't make, well, now they are, but they used to make it in their 30s, maybe early 40s. So they went through the hard times, and they appreciate what they have.
Right.
And they're a little more mature because they're older, I think.
Right.
Some people who make it really early, as we can see with the obvious examples.
Right, absolutely.
So.
Britney Spears.
It's really
right.
Tough. So who else? Who else
All
is
right, I'm going to embarrass Josh because I've been listening to his live album obsessively recently. So I'm going to take that with me. And so I can learn all the parts. So
what's your favorite song on his live album?
Well, I've been listening to Back Again a lot recently. It's just, he does this bass drum thing, that the stop in the middle. I like play it over and over again. It's just, it's only a few seconds long, and I'm like,
I like Sleepwalker. Birdwalker.
Hopefully
you
weren't, it's not putting, no. Love it. Sorry to embarrass you.
So, what are your plans for the future? Do you plan on putting a band together and going out and playing gigs, or you plan on writing some more tunes, going in the studio? What are you thinking about?
The latter. I'm trying to get. I think I'm going to use the two songs that I did, and I'm trying to write a lot, just amass as much original material as possible, but put a short demo together. So about like a 4 or 5 song demo. And I've asked them to be on the recording, so hopefully in a few months I'll be ready to get the originals down and also do some covers. And then I don't know what. then I ask friends what the next step is. Right now I'm just trying to focus on getting the demo. And actually Chris Burke, who was on your show, was it last week? The track.
The track.
The track
was
on.
The latest name.
Chris Burke, I've asked him to produce. He went to school for that, and we actually finally met for the first time to talk about the song, so very
cool.
Excited.
Well, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank
Stay
you.
Stay tuned, everybody, for part two. Good evening.
Thanks.
All right, awesome. Good job.
Thanks.